Thank you all for coming on this auspicious day. It's also called the Mother's Day. And we have a special guest speaker today. His name is Niranjan Prabhu. Let's give him a warm welcome. Niranjan Prabhu was born in New York and he was raised as a strict Roman Catholic. He went to the Catholic school and then to St. John's University. But he came across Srila Prabhupada's teachings while he was in New York going to college, and he liked them so much that he decided to dedicate his entire life to serving Srila Prabhupada. So over 40 years ago, he gave up everything that he was doing and fully dedicated himself to serving the mission. Niranjan Prabhu has been Vice President of ISKCON Los Angeles. I'm sure you have all been there or heard of. And he has served in Canada and in many capacities. These days, he travels around the world and he shares his spiritual realizations with people and inspires them to become Krishna conscious. He can even come to your home and do a home program if you like, small, big, as you like. So please meet with him after his lecture. And now let's once again welcome him to the Laguna Beach Temple.
I got it from here. It's up to you. No, it's okay. It's good. Thank you. Trinadapi sunyechena tororiva sahishnuna amanina manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. There are several things, or we could say topics, I'd like to speak about tonight. First, let's talk about mother. In our philosophy, we consider seven different mothers. You have your birth mother, then there's the wife of a teacher, that's considered a mother. The wife of a priest or Brahmin, she's considered a mother. The queen, she is considered a mother. There is the nurse. And then you have Mother Earth, something that here in America we're very familiar with. But then we have the cow. And this question is asked invariably. Why do you have this holy cow, sacred cow? And why are you calling cow your mother? My spiritual master addressed that. He preached that just as when you were born, the first food the baby gets is the milk from the mother's breast. According to the Vedic scriptures, if the child drinks the milk from the mother's breast for at least 6 months, that child will be very healthy, strong. So after the mother feeds the child milk at a certain point, then the milk is given by the cow. So in that way, the cow is considered mother. And why do we say holy cow? Because in our philosophy, all religious principles are there with the cow. That is actually the first religious principle, that with cow protection, then there will be a good human society. But when the cow is slaughtered for its meat, then that civilization becomes most degraded, most sinful, most abominable, no longer considered human. So the cow is given special preference. Even if someone insists on eating meat, we recommend, okay, you must eat meat, but at least don't eat the flesh of the cow, because it is the most heinous crime. And those who know about Krishna, his name is Govinda. And what is God's favorite animal? Cow. Just see. What is God like to do every day in his abode? Every day he's taking care of the cows and calves. That's special, what he likes to do. God is a person. That's a fundamental principle of this movement, that God is a person. I'm a person, you're a person, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, we are persons eternally. We were persons in the past, we are persons now, and we will continue to be individual persons in the future. This is one of the first things Krishna instructs Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that you are a person. And God is also an individual person. Yes. And as if, just like you, you have feelings, you have preferences, you have desires, you have a personality. Not everybody's the same. Everybody's unique individual. So is God. He is also an individual. And he has his feelings and preferences. And his first preference, cow. So therefore, we say mother cow. Now, on this topic of mother, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 17th chapter, Krishna talks about austerity of the body. There are so many subject matters in Bhagavad Gita. So in chapter 17, towards the end, he talks about austerity of the body, of the mind. So one of the austerities of the body, Krishna says, that you are to worship superiors. And Srila Prabhupada puts in, like the father and mother. Even when I was raised, like Rupanuga pointed out, I was raised Roman Catholic. So one of the first things I learned in the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother. That's also human civilization. And Krishna, he in the Bhagavad Gita says, yes, you should give worship, you should give respect. Many of you coming from Hindu traditions, you know this very well. You are raised from birth. First thing you do, you go to the parents and you show your respect. You give your honor. And more on this topic of mother, there is a incarnation of God known as Rishabhdev. And Rishabhdev was once instructing his 100 sons, because he was instructing them that they would become kings of their own and they would rule. So he gave them instructions. And one of those instructions that he gave is, don't become a father or mother unless you can take full responsibility to deliver the child that you produce. What does that mean, to deliver? Because those who follow this Vedic or Aryan culture know that human life is heavy responsibility. And whatever actions one does, you are going to reap the results. You are going to either suffer or enjoy. But the responsibility of the parents is to see that for this child, this is the last birth this child will take in this material world. The parents' duty is to see this child should go back home, back to Godhead. This child should be trained in such a way that every opportunity is given so that this child can perfect human life and at the end return back to the kingdom of God. That's the responsibility of the parent. And Rishabhdev was warning his sons, unless you're capable of delivering your dependents, don't become father or mother. Now, there is one more mother. I mentioned this verse about the seven mothers, but there's one more, which is actually my favorite. So there is this statement. It is quoted by Lord Chaitanya. And just listen to this nice statement by Lord Chaitanya is on our altar. I'm preaching now to different levels. Some people are here for the first time. Some of you have been here since the dawn of creation. So I have to be able to speak on so many different levels. So for those who are new here, the central figure on the altar, prime center, that's Lord Chaitanya. So he has spoken this nice verse and is introducing now yet, we could say, the eighth mother. Listen to what he says. When Mother Vedas, Shruti, is asked whom to worship, she says that you, Krishna, are the only worshipable object. So Mother Vedas, the scriptures. Similarly, the corollaries of the Shruti Shastras, known as Smriti, give the same instructions, just like sisters. The Puranas are like brothers, and they follow in the footsteps of their mother. This prayer is actually to Krishna, and that name of Krishna is Murari. Everybody say,
Murari.
Very good. But that wasn't everybody. Everybody.
Murari.
That's better. Very good. That's one of my tactics. My tactic is whenever I can, I have to get you to chant the name of God. Then I'm successful. And it also keeps you awake. Otherwise, you go, after a while, you're going to go, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All right, that's pretty good. All right. So, Mother Vedas. So, Prabhupada, he talks about Mother Vedas. There is a point in your spiritual progress by which you want to get to the next level. You start off in your spiritual life, but now you want to proceed to the next level. So the next level is called initiation. And that initiation is just like a birth, just like you took birth from the combination of a father and mother. So your initiation is your second birth. Just like the Christians say, sometimes say, are you born again? And I say, yes, I have. So what is that born again? Yes, Mother Vedas and the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the father. And the Vedic scriptures are the mother, and that is your second birth. And in this movement, when you get that second birth, just like when you were born, you didn't get to pick your name. At a certain age, you realize, oh, my name was given, it's such and such. Yes, you don't get to pick. So in the second birth, you're also given a name. And therefore, you will see there are people known as Krishna Das, Govinda Das. Das means servant. Yes, we're all servants. I'm sitting on the elevated seat, but that's just to show respect, not to me, but to this philosophy and the acharyas, the great teachers. I'm supposed to represent them. I have to speak according to what the founder acharya has written. I have to represent him. So I'm given this elevated seat as a sign of respect. And that respect goes all the way up to God himself. Like that. So you are given a name, and that name signifies that before your second birth, you were Johnny or Joe or whatever you were. That's now done. Account tore up. That's good, because when I was Nikki, I had a huge account of sinful reactions. And what did my spiritual master and Mother Vedas do? They absolved that account. Thank you. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you surrender to me, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Now I want you to repeat two Sanskrit words. Ma shucha.
Ma shucha.
Very good. Ma shucha means don't worry, be happy. Ma shuchaha means don't hesitate, or as they say in Spanish, ahora mismo. And ma shuchaha means don't fear, don't doubt. But I like the first one. Don't worry, be happy. I once gave a whole lecture in South Africa on that, don't worry, be happy. And I came up with lyrics on the spot. It was great. It was John Mastami Day. Anyway, that surrender to Krishna is that second birth. So the old birth, Nikki, Joe, whatever, it's gone. Now you're born again of the spirit. And now you have a new spiritual identity. And anyone, okay, all of you who have been initiated, think back. How did you feel right after that initiation, sir? I know how I felt. Free. You felt rejuvenated, am I right? You don't feel the same. Something happens. It's mystical. Something actually happens. Yes, your karma, your soul becomes clean, and you feel fresh and liberated. So that's all I'm going to say for now about the mother. Everybody chant with me the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Now, there's this nice scene in the life of Krishna. Krishna is the original supreme personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations. The source of all, he's our source too. We are emanations from Krishna. Everything originates from Krishna. This is the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. One of the most important lessons of Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is the source of everything that exists. He's the absolute truth. So when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, he displayed so many different pastimes, incidents. So there's one incident that would tie in nicely with respecting the mother and the father. And it has to do with after there was this event where Krishna finally was able to kill the evil king Kamsa. Even before Krishna's birth, Kamsa was very concerned because he knew that the eighth child of his sister Devaki was going to kill him. So this Kamsa tried in so many ways to ensure that he would not be killed by the eighth child or eighth son of his sister. But as it turned out, no matter what this Kamsa did, the day finally came where he was face to face with Krishna, and the prophecy came true, and Krishna killed Kamsa, strapping his chest and punching him, and the evil king Kamsa was finally killed. Now, for the first 11 years of Krishna's life, right after Krishna was quote-unquote born, right, or you could say appear, he was immediately transferred, taken, and the babies were switched. A girl had been born to Nanda and Yashoda, so Vasudev took his own child and placed it on the lap of Yashoda, who was asleep from childbirth, and he took the daughter. So when Yashoda woke up, she didn't remember after giving birth whether she had a boy or a girl. It seems that she gave birth and then passed out. So when she woke up, she saw this beautiful child, Krishna. And for 11 years, Yashoda and Nanda, they think, oh, this is our son. But Vasudeva and Devaki, the original quote-unquote parents, they know very well what has happened. So for 11 years, Vasudeva and Devaki are not with Krishna because he's away, and Nanda and Yashoda are acting as Krishna's parents, and Vasudeva and Devaki, they cannot say anything. So after the killing of Kamsa, there's a reunion. And Krishna comes to his parents. And this is a very, very nice exchange. So let's hear how Krishna addresses his parents. He hasn't seen them for 11 years. My dear father and mother, although you have always been very anxious for the protection of our lives, you could not enjoy the pleasure of having us as your babies, as your growing boys, and as your adolescent youths. Yes, you can imagine if you had a child and right after birth, it's taken from you. Very, very difficult. So let's see what Krishna says next. Unfortunately, being ordered by our fate, we could not be raised by our own parents to enjoy childhood pleasures at home. Now here comes something very instructive. My dear father and mother, a man has a debt to pay to his parents, from whom he gets this body, which can bestow upon him all the benefits of material existence. According to the Vedic injunction, this human form of life enables one to perform all kinds of religious activities, fulfill all kinds of desire, and acquire all kinds of wealth. And only in this human form is there every possibility that one can get liberation from material existence. This body is produced by the combined efforts of the father and mother. Every human being should be obliged to one's parents and understand that one cannot repay one's debt to them. If after growing up, a son does not try to satisfy his parents by his actions or by an endowment of riches, he is severely punished after death by the superintendent of death and made to eat his own flesh. If a person is able to care for or give protection to old parents, children, the spiritual master, brahmanas, and other dependents, but does not do so, one is considered to be already dead, although supposedly breathing. My dear father and mother, you have always been anxious for our protection, but unfortunately, we could not render any service unto you. Up to date, we have simply wasted our time. We cannot serve you for reasons beyond our control. Mother and father, please excuse us for our sinful action. So here, although Krishna is God, he's playing this role as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and he's giving us good instructions that are applicable to us. Notice the key thing here. If after growing up, a son does not try to satisfy his parents by his actions or by an endowment of riches. So, those who cannot do the endowment of riches, you had better satisfy your parents by your actions. And the best action you can do is to become a lover of God, to become a devotee. That is the best thing a son can do. If the son becomes a good devotee, that son will be able to deliver his parents from the cycle of birth and death. So, many of us, myself included, we joined this movement at a very young age. I was 23. But if I'm able to stay the course, if I'm able to become a pure devotee of Krishna, then I will deliver not only my parents, but the parents of my parents, of the parents of the parents, 21 generations. Pretty good. So this movement is teaching how one can deliver, how one can do the maximum benefit for oneself and for humanity at large. What's missing in society today? We're seeing it more and more. What's missing is conscientious, righteous, moral, and people who are actually devotees. This is what's lacking in society. Sometimes we wonder why in the political sphere, why even on the local level, why there's so much confusion and chaos, and why there's so much, yes, It's because human society, maybe you could say it's becoming more and more materially sophisticated, but at the expense of morality, religious principles, that's what's lacking. So we have people in political office, but actually they're supposed to be responsible, but actually they're the biggest rascals and rogues and thieves. How can we expect there to be a good society when the people are all rotten to the core? When everything is based on money, money, money. And there is no scruples. So this movement is supposed to create a class of people who are godly. And therefore, everyone is encouraged. Everyone is, encouraged. Everyone is instructed. Become a devotee. Become a lover of God. And by you becoming a devotee, a lover of God, you will be able to affect so many people that come in contact with you. This is where the real problems of society are solved. We're not going to solve the world's problems materially. The problems will be solved when the human population becomes godly, becomes saintly. But it has to start with me. It can't be, let somebody else do it. No, I have to be it. I have to become. So everyone is encouraged, enthused, instructed. Try more and more in your daily lives. Try and become more and more godly. And what are we saying? It's easy. You can do it. All the godly qualities are already there in your heart. How will they come out? We are saying, chant this Maha Mantra. And by chanting this Maha Mantra, your dormant godly qualities will gradually come to the surface. Look how Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva, either their hands are like this praying, or their hands are like this. They're happy. They're ecstatic. Why? Because they're lovers of God. We want to create a lover of God society. And it's simple. Just chant these 16 names. Everybody. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Now someone's going to ask. Somebody's going to wonder. How does this happen? Just by saying these words? Like my father. I've been going to see him now. I've been a devotee now 41 years. And every time I see him, it's the same question. Why do you keep mumbling those same things over and over again? And I've explained to him 108 times. And I will explain 109th time. Yes, because these are not material sound vibrations. These 16 names, these are spiritual transcendental sounds. They are not material. They have great potency. Trust me, if you had known me 41 years ago, you would know when I say that if this Maha Mantra doesn't work, trust me, I would not spend 41 years trying to chant. I'm not that stupid. This mantra, this philosophy had better work. Otherwise, I would have been gone after 2 weeks. But I'm here to tell you, it does work. And that's why I have spent 41 years every day chanting this Maha Mantra, studying the Bhagavad Gita, and trying in my own way, little by little, trying to become godly. I'm full of faults. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. But I have seen in my life how by chanting this Maha Mantra and practicing Krishna consciousness, how little by little by little I see the godliness is arising. It's already there. Everyone is potentially divine. It just has to be awoken. And when we nicely chant and we pay attention, just like I was explaining earlier, that is just like a musician. You can play the music and your mind is elsewhere. Or you can play the music and we have an expression, you're locked in. And you're really concentrating on the notes and the subtleties and the nuances of playing the instrument because you're locked in. So the same way when we chant this Maha Mantra, we want to lock in. We want to actually pay attention and concentrate on each syllable. Ha, re, Krishna. Ha, re, ra, ma. The more I can concentrate and the more I can become absorbed in this sound vibration, God in my heart, He's there. He's in your heart. Krishna, God is in everyone's heart. Please don't forget that. He's in your heart. And He wants to help you. Krishna in your heart wants to help you. But you have to ask Him to help. Because He doesn't interfere with your independence. But if you ask Him, He'll help you. And He will guide you from within how to come to Him gradually, step by step. But it begins with nicely chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now, just before I sat down, I was given an instruction by the coach, Coach Rupanugadas. And he would like me to glorify these two books that they are offering. Is this a special sale today? Special sale, yes. Special sale, blue light special. So let's start with this one, Teachings of Queen Kunti. This book is based on lectures that Srila Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles and in Mayapur, India, because this was a topic that was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. He was very fond of a particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prayers by Queen Kunti. So this book is a compendium of lectures he gave on that chapter. And the teachings of Queen Kunti, or the prayers by Queen Kunti, is after the battle of Kurukshetra. It was before the battle of Kurukshetra that the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Our main scripture is Bhagavad Gita. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna felt that his business was done. Yudhishthir was now the king of the world. Krishna said, it's time for me to return to my home in Dwaraka and be with my family. But as Krishna got on the chariot, his aunt, Kunti, the sister of his father, Vasudev, she stopped him. And she offered these beautiful prayers, glorifying and describing, and the ideas expressed by Kunti are very, very elevated, very advanced spiritual concepts. So the teachings of Queen Kunti, they are very, very instructive to help you in your spiritual life. I assume that you're here because you're interested in spiritual life, unless you're like me. When I came to the temple, I had only one thing in mind, prasadam. For those of you who don't know, that's the food that we're going to serve later on. So don't touch that dial. Stay for the food, because you might wind up like me a few years from now, sitting here and talking about Queen Kunti. So be careful of the food. It has a secret ingredient. That secret ingredient is love. Love of God. The food has love of God in it. I remember the first time I had that prasad. It was 1973, April, end of March, beginning of April. And they gave me this piece of wax paper with some green stuff on it. So I was very hungry. So I said, what's that? They said, oh, that's Mahaprasad. I said, okay, what do I do now? Eat it. So I went like this. And that tasted so good, I jumped up. Give me more! Give me more! It's so good! But they said, you gotta come back tomorrow. I said, that's it? You gotta come back. So I decided I gotta come back because there's no place in New York where I can get this food. So I decided I'm coming to this temple because the food is just too good. And it's never disappointed me, as you can see. So, teachings of Queen Kunti will help you in your spiritual life. Then we have this other book, which I spoke about a few months ago, but that's okay. Teachings of Lord Kapila. This ties in with Mother's Day also. Teachings of Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti. So, Kapil Dev is many times referred to as Devahuti Putra Kapila, just to show that this Devahuti is very, very special mother. She's the mother of an incarnation of God. So she's special, and this is Mother's Day. So what happened was, when she was married, she was given to a great rishi, mystic, who had been performing austerities for many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of years. So when her husband, Kardama, accepted her, he told her father, Swayambhuva Manu, that yes, it is the arrangement of God that I will marry your daughter, but at a certain point, I will return to these austerities that I'm doing, and I will completely become detached from this material life of husband and wife. So that was a, what you would say, a prenuptial arrangement. So, Kardama Muni, the husband of Devahuti, they had 9 daughters. And those daughters were born immediately, fully grown. Pretty good, huh? She gave birth to 9 daughters, fully grown, and as soon as they were born, they were all married off to great exalted rishis. Business done. Okay. Now, it was also predicted, because before Kardama was married to Devahuti, Kardama knew everything because Lord Vishnu, God himself, came to see Kardama and said, yes, you're going to be visited by Swayambhuva and you're going to marry the beautiful princess Devahuti, and I am also going to become your son. So this was already foretold. So after the 9 daughters, then Kapil was born to Kardama and Devahuti. And after the child was born, Kardama realized, well, this is the son of God. There's no need for me to be around anymore. So he decided, now I'm going to resume my penances and austerities and take sannyas and become fully absorbed in spiritual life. So when her husband left, Kapil, it wasn't right away, it was after some time, so Kapil had grown. So one day Devahuti approached her son and very humbly she requested him that, you please, you give me something that I have yet to acquire in my life. I have been given so much in my life. She was very grateful for everything her husband had given her. She was very grateful for her life, but she said, but there's one thing missing. Fearlessness. That you cannot buy at Walmart. Fearlessness is something that's actually a gift. So, Kapil, the son, he decided to be very compassionate on his mother. And there is a discussion, a transcendental discussion. Devahuti asks spiritual questions, and her son, God himself, Kapil, he gives the answer. It's all there in the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, many, many chapters. And Devahuti's questions are very high caliber questions. So this book also is based on lectures Srila Prabhupada gave when he spoke on that section of Bhagavatam when Prabhupada was preaching in Bombay, when they were trying to get the temple in Bombay constructed. And that's a whole another story, how that temple in Bombay finally came to realization. But these teachings of Lord Kapil is scientific, but it is filled with what is called bhakti, love and devotion. And love and devotion and bhakti are what is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, at least 3 times, Krishna says, if you want to know me, bhakti. If you want to see me, bhakti. You want to come to me, bhakti. Just like before I started speaking, I chanted 2 of my favorite mantras. So the 2nd mantra I chanted, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kivalam, Kalo Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gatir Anyata. And why does it say 3 times, no, no, no? So no means you cannot achieve spiritual perfection or liberation by materialistic good karma or activities. Nope. That won't get you to the kingdom of God. You cannot reach the kingdom of God by your so-called hot or cold yoga, as they're now, and every other day there's a new one. I'm sure the next one will be wet yoga. Every day is another new yoga. Anyway, whatever yoga, nope. It's not going to get you back to the kingdom of God. And not by amassing more and more and more knowledge, where you become like an encyclopedia that you know everything. No. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes it very clear. It is bhakti. It is your love and devotion to God. That is what is going to make it work. Your love and devotion. And this temple, this movement is dedicated to promoting bhakti, love of God. Everything we're doing, whether it be the chanting or the singing or the worshiping, even the food we are eating is all because of bhakti. Because we want to reach that stage where we have spontaneous love of God. Love of God is the true essence of religion. Doesn't matter, Christian religion, Muslim religion, Buddhist religion, that religion. The question is, do you love God? And we are promoting, just chant the names of God, and your love of God, which is already there, will automatically develop. One last time, everybody. Hare Krishna. Come on. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I thank you very much. And now we're going to have kirtan, and we're going to worship the Lord, and let your bhakti flow. Let, when you're chanting, chant with heart and soul, as Jesus taught. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. And in the temple, love your neighbor. So don't hit him. But everyone should dance and give your whole heart to Lord Chaitanya and his Panchatattva. Are you ready to worship God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind? Prove it by saying, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.